Daf Ayin Aleph Amen Aleph Gonav V'Tovach B'Yom HaKippurim. The Mishnah says Mishalim Tashlumei Arba V'Chamisha. In the case where he stole and he shechted the animal on Yom Kippur, obviously incurring a chiv kares for violating Yom Kippur. Nevertheless, there's no kibble with the rabbin and he pays dal v'hei. So the Gemara asks the following question: Amri, Amai, why does he have to pay dal v'hei? Nehid k'tola leka malchus mia ika. We still should apply at least one branch of the general principle of kim lebi the rabbimine, that you have two punishments, and the higher punishment of invalidates the lower punishment. Why? Because malchus mia ika. In this case, assuming he had a hasra not to shecht on Yom HaKippurim, then he'll get malchus for that. And we have a principle, Kaimalon, the Eino Lokim Mishalim. This is a sugya makas on Daf Dalud, that a person who gets malchus doesn't pay mamon. Again, if there was one action that generated two chiyuvim, one is the chiyuv malchus, the other is the chiyuv mamon, then he gets malchus and he's potter from mamon. So here in this case, he should be potter from Dalud Vehei. Amri, the Gemara says, Hamani, the author of our Mishnah, Rabbi Meir, he. The Omar Loke Umeshalim is Machlokes in Makis Daf Dalid between the Chachamim and Rabbi Meir. The case is two witnesses testified against Ploni Almoni that he owes 200 zuz, and then they turned out to be Edom Zomimim. Do they get Malkus for violating Lo Sana Breyachet Shaker, and in addition they get a Chiyuv Mom and they have to pay back Kasher Zomim 200 zuz? Rabbi Meir holds Lokim Umeshalim, they get both punishments. And the Chachamim hold Eino Loke Umeshalim. Our Mishnah here in Masechta Bava Kama Perek Meruba reflects the Shita of Rabbi Meir, who holds Loke Umeshalim. The Gemara thinks that the reason why Rabbi Meir holds Loke Umeshalim is because he doesn't accept the principle of Kim Levi the Rami. So the Gemara says, "E, Rabbi Meir, if the author of Mishnah is Rabbi Meir, is afilu tovach b'Shabbos." The Mishnah says that if he shechted the animal, the God of shechted the animal on Shabbos, and therefore incurred a chiyuv misa, then he doesn't pay dal v'hei, and that's based on the principle of kim levi the Ramine. If our Mishnah is authored by Rabbi Meir, haray in the case of shechting it on Yom Kippur, he doesn't exempt himself from Dalet Vehei, pays Dalet Vehei, meaning that Rabbi Meir rejects the principle of Eino Loke Meshalim, is he should likewise have said that in the case of Tovach B'Shavis, he should pay Dalet Vehei. V'chi tema, but maybe he'll make the distinction. Loke Meshalim Isle, Mesu Meshalim Lesle. In principle, Rabbi Meir embraces the overriding rule of Kim Lev Ramine in a case of Misa. Misa will knock off other punishments, but in the case of Malchus, Malchus does not have the power, it's not included on the Kim Lev Ramine. So the Gemara says, Velo, are you going to tell me that in the case of Misa, Rabbi Meir accepts the principle of Kim Lev Ramine? Vasanya, we have a Brisa recording the Shita of Rabbi Meir, Gonav V'Tovach B'Shabbos, Gonav V'Tovach L'Avodah Zorah, Gonav Shora Niskal Utvacho, Meshalim Arba V'Chamisha D'Rav Meir, V'Chachomim Potrim. The Brisa clearly presents the Shita of Rabbi Meir as rejecting Kim Lev D'Ramine. The man shechted the animal on Shabbos, yet he pays Dal V'He. This must be based on the principle of rejecting, on the assumption of Rabbi Meir rejecting Kim Leib and the Rabbine. Let's go back to the Torah itself in order to embellish this Gemara. Back in Shmos Chaf Aleph, V'chi yigach shor es ish o es ish of a mes, sokol yisokol ashor v'lo yochel es besoro. What that means is that if the shor goes out and kills a person, the shor is stoned, and the carcass of the shor is osur b'hano. Now, what's the case? When the Torah says you're not allowed to eat the carcass, the nevela of this shor, haniskal, are we talking about after skila? After skila, the animal is nevela, you can't eat the basar b'taras nevela. It must be that this pasuk is telling us that if somebody goes ahead and shechs the shor after gmar din, then even though the animal was never subject to skiwa, the shechita l'chora itself should be a shechita haruya, and the basar therefore in and of itself b'taras nevela would be mutter, comes along the Torah and says no, lo yochel es b'saro, you're not allowed to eat the basar of this carbon, of this shor niskal that was shechted after gemar din before the skila. And that's what it means over here in this brisa, that gonav shor niskal utvacho is according to chachamim your potur for dalid vehei. Here there's no kimleb ramine for shechting the shor niskal. Why doesn't the ganav pay dalid vehei according to the chachamim here? And the answer is this comes under a different category. This is not a reflection of kimle b'derabine, like in the Reisha, in the case of tovach b'shabbos or tovach l'avodah zarah. This is a reflection of the dinim of shor niskal, that this shechita cannot be matir the basar, even mechayim, even though the animal is alive and well, because of the din of lo yochel es b'saro. But we're going to focus our attention on the Reisha of this brisa, which records a machlokas Rabbi Meir Chachamim regarding Tovach b'Shabbos and Gonav v'Tovach l'Avodah Zorah. Why does Rabbi Meir say Yechayev Dalet v'Hei? Why not apply the principle of Kim Le Bin Rab Mine? He was Mischayev Misa and he's Chayev Momon of Dalet v'Hei, the Misa for the Tvicha on Shabbos of Avodah Zorah, and the moment for Gzelas Tvicha, which means Echiv Dalet v'Hei. And the Mishnah apparently, if it reflects the sheet of Rabbi Meir, would have told us that in the case of Tovach b'Shabbos, he's chayv dal vehei. Amri the Gemara answers, bar minei dahi. There's nothing to prove from that brisa regarding Rabbi Meir, who says that yechayv dal vehei for tficha b'Shabbos. Lo yitmar Allah, Omer Rav Yaakov, Omer Rav Yochanan, v'amri lei, Omer Rav Yirmiya, Omer Rav Shimon Lakish, Rabbi Ovin, Rabbi La, the Chol Chaburasa, the entire group of scholars, Mishmei, the Rabbi Yochanan quoting Rabbi Yochanan Amri, they all saw it with regard to this brisa that Rabbi Meir is Mechayev Talad Vehei for Tficha V'Shabbos, Tficha L'Avodah Zorah, B'Toveach Al Yidei Acher. Which means that the Gazlan did not shech the animal himself, but rather sent a Shliach to shech the animal. And here we get into the whole sugya of Ein Shliach L'Dvar Avera. But fundamentally what the Gemara is trying to point out is that according to Rabbi Meir, there's no Ptur of Kimleib the Ramine because there's no Chiv Misa on the Mishaleach, meaning the Gazan himself, even though he sent a Shliach, and we would normally apply the principle of Shlucho Shalado Kimoso, we would define the Shochet, the Shliach, as the long arm of the Gazlan. But the answer is no. There's a chiyuv misa here, not on the gazlan. The gazlan did not befall in actuality, in the physical reality of things, shech the animal on Shabbos. Therefore, he, the gazlan, is not chayv misa. However, the shlichus is meaningful and valid, according to Rabbi Meir, according to this whole string of thought of Rabbi Yochanan, and we're using this to apply to Rabbi Meir, as far as the Chiv Dal Vehei is concerned. In other words, we consider as if the God of shechted the animal through his long arm, through the proxy of the Shliach, and therefore the God of his Chiv Dal Vehei. However, there's no Chiv Misa on the Gazlan here to patter up the Dal Vehei, simply because the Gazlan did not implement the Melech HaShabbos of Tvicha. In fact, the shliach himself, who shechted the animal, will be chayev misa for shechita, because divrei harav, divrei talmud, divrei mishomim. He, the shliach, is personally liable and responsible for his action, and therefore there's no kimle d'ramine clearly on the gazan. He's not chayev misa at all, but he has to pay dalet vehei. Now the Gemara wants to understand, how could you split the shlichus into two dimensions and say, well, with regard to the ma'isa tvicha as a melech shabbos, ein shlich l'dvar avera, it's going to be the shlich himself is chayv misa for violating shabbos. But on the other hand, you want to say, as far as tvicha b'toras gzela and mechayve tashlumi gadama concerned, we do apply and implement the shlichus. The Gemara asks, v'chi zechote v'zem ischayev. It's very strange. The shliach is considered the chote insofar as he shechted the animal on Shabbos and ain't shliach l'dvar avera. And yet, the mishaleach, meaning the gazlan, becomes chayev v'tashlumi dal v'hei as if he had implemented this avera of shechting someone else's animal. And if we apply the principle of ein shliach l'dvar avera, which is a sugya in Masechta the Kiddushin Adaf Mem Beis Amid Beis, then we should mafkia the shlichus in Gansen completely in such a way that there's no shlichus, and the mishaleach, in this case the ganav, should not be chayef for tficha mechira. And Omar Rava, in order to answer this question, has to come up with a brand new chiddush in the halachas of Dal Vehei. Omar Rava, Shiny Hach, with regard to Tvicha, there is Shliach L'Dvar Avera, again, as far as Gazlan is concerned, Chiyuvei Gneva, the Omai Krah, the Torah says, in Parashas Mishpatim, in the Parasha of Dal Vehei, it says, Utvacho U'machara. And the extra Vav sets up a Hekesh. Actually, the truth is, I shouldn't say the extra vav, because although in the Gemara it's printed as Utvacho Macharo, in the Torah itself it says Utvacho O Macharo. But in any event, these two averos, these two violations of Tvicha Mechira, in the case of a Gazlan, are combined together in one breath in order to create a Hekesh and an analogy between Mechira and Tvicha. Ma Mechira Al Yidei Acher, there's no way, no how, that the Ganav could sell the object, the stolen object, without the help and the partnership of the fence, of the person who receives the kinyan. Is Af Tvicha, in the case of Tvicha, you'll be Chayv Dal Vehei Al Yidei Acher, with the participation of someone else. Meaning, Mechir is done through Acher, and Tvicha, even if it's done through Acher, you send a proxy to do the Shechita, nevertheless the Gazlan, the Mishalech, is Chayav. And this allows us to engender a brand new halach of Shlichus in Tvicha Mechira, specifically in Tvicha. Whereas in general, the case of Tvicha would come under the universal principle of Ein Shlich L'Dvar Avera. It's removed from that, and we reenact or reestablish the validity of shlichus here because of the pasuk utvacho o macharo. The Gemara offers other possible derivations, yalfusos, to establish that there is shlichus in tvicha mechira. The very Rabbi Shmuel Tana, o l'rabos sashliach. Right, we said that the pasuk says utvacho o macharo, the extra o. It could have said utvacho u macharo. What's o macharo? The o is a ribui l'rabos es hashaliach. And the Beit Chizkiyotana, a different drasha. It says chamisha bakar yishalim tachas hashar. And the word tachas is an extra word. L'rabos es hashliach. Now it's very interesting, this limud in which we establish an analogy between tficha and mechira, just like mechira is through someone else, so too tficha is through someone else. It's a little bit strange because in the case of mechira, there is no mechira without shnayim, without the mocher and the lokeach. In tficha, one person could check the animal, and there's no reason to derive tficha, which is efshar al yidei achir, from mechira, which is efshar al yidei achir. We have a principle called ein danim efshar mi efshar. And the answer apparently is that it is possible in mechira to have a mechira shelo al yidei achir. And what is that? That's the case of hegdesh in Berek Habayis. If a person is magdish something to Berek Habayis, which is Kedushas Domin, is that's also called a Mechira, as the Gemara is going to establish later on Daf Ayin Tes, is Mecharo L'Shamayim. And there, there is no other participant in the act of the Mechira. He's just simply Magdish. And he, as a sole effort, as a solo effort, is Magdish the animal. And therefore, when the Gemara says here, Ma Mechira Al Yidei Acher, it means that the classical Mechira, which generates a Chiyuv Dalet in the case of Gazlan, is Al Yidei Acher. And that allows us, even though it's a case of the Efshar in the Al Yidei Acher, but since Mechira in general is Efshar Shalo Al Yidei Acher, so too Tvicha, which is the Efshar Al Yidei Acher, is subject to the Alocha of Dalet Vehe. Maskifla Marzutra. How could you be Chayiv Dalet Vehe when you send the Shliach for Tvicha on Shabbos? Or Tvicha for Avodah Zorah, we have a principle in Shlichus that which the Meshalech himself could not accomplish, he cannot send a Shliach to accomplish. The Shliach himself is an extended arm of the Meshalech. The Meshalech himself could have done it, he could do it through a Shliach. But if the Shliach is operating way beyond the powers of the Meshalech, that's not Shlichus. Now, in the case of Tvicha B'Shabbos, Tvicha L'Avodah Zorah, where we apply the principle of Kim Leibed the Rav Amine, we have Mi Ika Mida Di Ika Ovid Iu Lo Mechayev, the Ovid Shliach Mechayev. If the Meshaleach, meaning the Gazlan himself, had implemented this act of Tvicha, then he would not be Chayev for that Tvicha, Dalet Vehei, and the reason for that is because Kim Leib the Rav Mineh. How can the Shliach now generate on behalf of the Meshaleach a Chiyuv Dalet Vehei? That's a principle called Niyka Midi Diyu Ovid Dilu Ovid Iyu. Had the Meshaleach himself done it, Lo Mechayev Ovid Shliach Umechayev. Yeah. So now at this point in the Hava Midi, the Gemara understands that Kim Leib the Rav Mineh is Mafkir the very Chiyuv. Omalei Rav Ashi, where he answers, Hassan, that's not true. If the Ganav himself would have shechted the animal on Shabbos or for Avodah Zorah, he's actually chayev. He's chayev to pay Dalet Vehe. Lav mishum de lo mechayev, but in practice, in reality, business is not going to say shell out. Why? Elokim leib the rabbi made it. We're going to give him the higher punishment, the most severe punishment, namely the Misa, the capital punishment, and therefore he won't pay Dalet Vehe. But he's chayav dalet vehei. In fact, tfisa, it's possible that tfisa would work in Kim Leib the Rav Mineh. If the nizak or the nigzal would grab the money, then we won't be able to force him to cough it up and return it. We see clearly, says Rav Ashi, that Kim Leib the Rav Mineh is not a halacha of ptur. It doesn't in any way mafkir the chiyuv. It's a separate halacha that there's a tryst, there's a, so to speak, a blockage, which forms a barrier preventing, tying down the arms, the hands of Beis Din from implementing the chiyuv which he's chayev. The Gazlan, even though he was toveach b'Shabbos and he's chayev misa, he's not chayev dalvei. What does it mean he's not chayev dalvei? He says Rav Ashi, no, not the way you understood it, he's not chayev dalvei. He's chayev dalvei. But there's a technical issue of Kim Leib Rami which prevents us from implementing that chiyuv and forcing and compelling the Mischayev B'Nafsho, the Gazan in this case, from paying the Dalet Vehei. We cannot collect it. It's non-collectible funds. It's a Chiv that's non-collectible. But it doesn't come under the principle of Lo Avid Shliach, because the Shliach can do it. The Shliach now, in a sense, obviates and circumvents this technical problem, because when the Shlichus is Chal, based on all these limudim and drushes that we had in the case of Tvicha Mechira, then the Chiyuv of Dalet Vehei apply. And how does the Shlichus obviate and circumvent the technical problem of Kim Leib the Rav Mineh? Simple. Because it's a case of Zemes Chayev, meaning the Shliach is the one who's Chayev Misa, the Meshaleach is not Chayev Misa because of Divrei Rav and Ein Shliach Udvar Vera. So since the Meshaleach is not Chayev Misa, therefore Ein Achinami will be Chayev Tashlumen. You'll ask me, okay, the Shliach implements his Shlichus of Tvicha, but the Mishalech wouldn't have been Chayav Dalet Vey? And the answer is no. The Mishalech, had he himself personally implemented this Maisa Tvicha, would have been Chayav Dalet Vey. Again, it's a non-collectible Chiyuv. Now the Gemara asks, Ve'i, and if you're going to tell me that the Braisa that says that Rav Meir is Mechayev, the Ganav, to pay Dalet Vey for Tvicha B'Shabbos, is a case of Tovech Al Yidei Acher, because again, if it wasn't Tovech Al Yidei Acher, Rabbi Meir embraces the principle of Kimle B'Ramine in a case of a capital crime of a Chiyuv Misa. So it's my time with the Rabbanan Lepatre. Why the Rabbanan say that the Ganav is Potur from Dalet Vehei? After all, there's no Kimle B'Ramine here, because ain't Shlichus V'Aver as far as the violation of Shabbos, and yet there is Shlichus in Tvicha Mechira. Amri, the Gemara answers, Man Chachomim, who is the Bar Plukta of Rabbi Meir, called the Chachomim in an Adam Seis, Rabbi Shimon, Di Omar, Shchita, Sheinu Ruya, Lo Shma Shchita. Rabbi Shimon is of the opinion that in order for Shchita to generate a Chiyuv Dalet Vehei, it's got to be a Shchita that's matir the basal achila. If the shchita does not have the power to be matir the basar le achila, then that shchita does not have the power, is not valid to engender a chiyuv dalet vehei. And therefore, Rabbi Shimon argues with Rabbi Meir in the case of shchita b'Shabbos, because the shchita on Shabbos is not capable of being matir the basal achila, and that's going to be the sugya that we're going to embark upon now. But let's point out that Rav Shimon is not a foreign element here, because the Mishnah itself, back on Daf Ayin Amud Aleph, says that Rav Shimon is poter in the cases of Shochet v'nimtzis trefa, Shochet chulin lazora, because in these cases the shchit is not matir the basar. Amri, the Gemara now wants to analyze, why is the Shochet b'Shabbos a shchit shein aruya? Why isn't it matir the basar? So Gemara says, Bishlei melavod zara. If had it been a discussion about shchita lavod zara, the shchita of avod zara engenders an isra hanah, which certainly includes an isra achila. The Torah considers avod zara cherem, which means it's also behanah. And as a result, the shchita cannot be matir achilas abasar. That's fine. That I can understand in a case of a shochet l'avodah zarah. And this is a sugyan avodah zarah, daf nun dalet. However, and then we can understand very well, the shor niskal, v'shecht a shor niskal after gemar din, the shor niskal is osur b'ano lo yochel b'saro, and therefore it becomes a shchita shen aruyahi. Ela b'shabes is shchita aruyahi. I'm going to prove to you, based on a Mishnah in Chulin Daf Yudalid, that in fact, if you shecht an animal, Chas v'Sholem, on Shabbos, on Yom Kippur, the basar itself is mutter. There's no isin avail. The shechita was meaningful. Hashochet b'Shabbos Yom Kippur mafal pishem eschai b'nafshel shechita k'shera. So we see clearly from this Mishnah that although shechita b'Shabbos incurs a chiyuv misa, but nevertheless, the shchit itself, in and of itself, is a maisa matir, as a boss of the nevela is matir. It's meaningful. It's valid. And therefore, why should shochet b'Shabbos, even if I agree to Reb Shimon's principle that shchita shen aruya does not engender a chiyuv dalet vehei, but here it's a shchita aruya, it does have the power to be matir the basar? Amri, the Gemara says, you know what, Reb Shimon savala ki Reb Yochanan asandlar, and this. This ushers in the sugya of what's called Maisa Shabbos. If a person violates the Shabbos, Chas v'Shalom, and we'll see various permutations, whether it was b'shogeg, whether it was b'mezid, that engenders a chiyuv, an isur called Maisa Shabbos. I'm not sure if that's d'oraisa or d'rabbanan, that we'll have to see. But be that as it may, no benefits can accrue from a violation of Melechah Shabbos. Here in our case, he shechted it on Shabbos. The shchita is a shchita shein aruya, because it's not matir the basar, not because of the psul in the shchita in any sense. not because of any sort of Iser Hanah, like Shar Niskal or like Avodah Zorah, but because of the Halacha Balecha Shabbos and Maisa Shabbos. The Snan, we learned in the Mishnah in Shabbos Lamedches, the third parak, Hamavashel B'Shabbos B'Shogeg Yochal, but B'Mezid Lo Yochal. Dimrei Rabbi Meir. So let's go through the Shitos in the Mishnah. The first Shita is that of Rabbi Meir. Then we'll have the Shita Rabbi Yehuda, and then finally the Shita Rabbi Yochanan Sanla, which is most relevant to us. But first, Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir holds that if a person violates the Shabbos, B'Shogeg, by cooking something on Shabbos, then the food is mutter immediately. But B'Mezid, if he deliberately, Chas V'Shalom, violated Shabbos by cooking, Lo Yochal, no one's allowed to eat that food. Now, Rashi and Chulin says that Lo Yochal means you're not allowed to eat it on Shabbos. Again, this is all a Shabbos Isur. And when it says Lo Yochal, it means no one's allowed to eat it. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, B'Shogeg Yochal. Rabbi Yehuda agrees to the fundamental principle that this Isur of Maisa Shabbos only applies B'Mezid. But nevertheless, Rabbi Yehuda wants to say that although the Isur Maisa Shabbos in its full-blown application does not apply in the case of Shogeg, that doesn't mean that Shogeg gets off scot-free. But rather, Yochal means anyone can eat it, B'motzoi Shabbos. In other words, that during the course, the balance of Shabbos, from the moment of the bishul, again, we're talking about Shogeg, until after Shabbos, it's Osar Bachil. However, and when I say Osar Bachil, I mean for anyone. However, after Shabbos is over, then in the case of Shogeg, it's Mutter. Now, this Rabbi Yehuda wants to say that the halacha of Maisa Shabbos with regard to Shogeg is a Shabbos Dikei Iser. It doesn't create an Iser in the Gufo Shel Basar. The Basar is not converted into Heftadi Surah. But rather, to be Nena on Shabbos, Molechs on Shabbos, that we can't do. That's call it an Iser Gavr, it's a Shabbos Iser. But the Mezid, now the Basar itself is converted into a Heftadi Surah Lo Yochal Olamis. But here it becomes complicated. Because the sugya over there, Masechta Shabbos, differentiates between Acherim and others. What does that mean? When Rabbi Yehuda says Lo Yochal Olamis, it means he himself, the Mavashel, could never eat it. It becomes a Heftadi Surah, but for one individual. It's like what we call a Neder. Just like in the case of Neder, which the Gemara says at the beginning of an Adarm is an Isa Chefta, but nevertheless, it's only an Isa Chefta on one person, not on the veld. Here too, we have, according to Rabbi Yehuda, in the case of Maisa Shabbos, an Isa Chefta, the Meleches Bishal on Shabbos in B'mezin engenders a Chefta the Isur, but only as far as the Mavashal is concerned. That's called Lo Yochal Olamis. Others could eat this Tavshil after Shabbos. And now we get to the final Shita, which is most relevant to us, Rabbi Yochanan Sandler Omer, B'Shogeg Ye'ochel L'motzoi Shabbos L'Acherim V'lo-lo B'mezid Lo Yochel Olamis Lo-lo V'lo L'Acherim. Rabbi Yochanan is machmir in two counts, both with regard to Shogeg. Until now, the Mishnah was universal about the Hafka of Isur Shabbos B'Shogeg, meaning, although again, there may be some sort of according to Rabbi Yehuda, some sort of very limited Isur of Maisa Shabbos B'Shogeg within the context of Shabbos itself. But according to Rabbi Meir, for example, Shogeg is completely exonerated outside the pale of Maisa Shabbos. Rabbi Yochanan Sandler says that B'shogeg, as far as the Bavashel is concerned, the Tavshel has become a Heftadi Surah. It's Osar Olamis. Rabbi Yochanan Sandler is only willing to be Mekil, to be lenient on Shogeg, Motzei Shabbos L'Acherim. He accepts the Sheet of Rabbi Yehuda that during the course of Shabbos, that's a Shabbos Halacha. We call it an Isa Gavra. But B'motzei Shabbos, Rabbi Yochanan Sandler says that even B'shogeg, it's osur to the Mavashel an Iser Olamis. Velo lo. So that's fascinating that Rabbi Yochanan Asala breaks new ground and says that even on Shabbos, I'm sorry, even on in a case of Shogeg on Shabbos, there is an engendering of a Chefta di Sura, again vis-a-vis the Mavasha. Then Rabbi Yochanan Sandler makes another breakthrough. He's Machmir on Mezit. Now, I don't know if there's a consistency here in Rabbi Yochanan Sandler that he's always the Machmir, but in any event, there seems to be a double Machlokes, one with regard to Shogeg, in which case Rabbi Yochanan Sandler understands that a Bishol v'Shogeg engenders a Chefta di Sura, at least for the Mavashel, which is the Oniser Olam. And now Rabbi Yochanan Sandler argues in the case of Mezid that lo ye ochel olamis lo lov lo achirim. That means it's an absolute hefta di sura for everyone. It's a neder for the entire world through Mezid, through Melech Shabbos b'Mezid. So now it comes out that the Mezid of Rabbi Meir is the Shogeg of Rabbi Yehuda, and the Mezid of Rabbi Yehuda is the Shogeg of Rabbi Yochanan Sandler. What I mean to say is that in the case of Mezid, Rabbi Meir engenders an Isur of Shabbos, called Bo Bayom. So there's no Chefta di Sura, becomes an Isur Gav, and that's exactly what Rabbi Yehuda saw and defined in the case of Shogeg. So Rabbi Meir's Mezid is equal to Rabbi Yehuda's Shogeg. Rabbi Yochanan Sandler, on the other hand, is setting up a situation, I mean a halacha, in which we can equate Rabbi Yochanan Sandler's Shogeg with the Mezid of Rabbi Yehuda. If you remember, the Mezid of Rabbi Yehuda engenders a Chefta di Sura Leolamis, as far as the Mevashel is concerned. And Rabbi Yochanan is saying that even b'shogeg there is such a halacha of a Chefta di Sura Olamis, at least vis-a-vis the Mevashel, despite the fact that he was a Shogeg. The Gemara asks, my time, dear Rabbi Yochanan Hasandler. The Gemara doesn't raise any questions here about my time of the Rabbi Meir or my time of the Rabbi Yehuda. Rashi has an explanation for this in Chul, and I'm going to present Rashi the way I understand it. I'm not sure if that's how Rashi meant it. And that is that Rabbi Meir holds that the entire parasha of Melech HaShabbos is A, limited to Mezid, and B, it's only an Iser to be Nenemi Melech HaShabbos. It doesn't convert and transform the nature of the fiber of the basar that was cooked. Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, is willing to accept a change in the Chefta of the Basar, and that's what he calls the Yochal Olamis. Rabbi Yehuda is willing to say that on Shogeg, we shouldn't be Nene from Meleches Shabbos, so we have to wait till Motzai Shabbos. In the case of Mezid, we transform the Chefta in the Chefta di Sura. Rabbi Yochanan Sandler is telling us that on Shabbos, there's an Iser being Nenem in Melech Shabbos that applies not only to the Mavasha, but to everyone. We don't want anyone to be Nenem in Melech Shabbos. But yet there's an additional halacha of converting, transforming the Chefts of the Bas into a Chefts of the Isur of Olamis. And that apparently is because we're going to apply that Chefta di Sura in Shogeg according to Rabbi Yochanan, because there is already a precedent in Mezid, and we're going to somehow cross that bridge, and shall I say bridge the gap between Shogeg and Mezid. That's called Gazu Shogeg Atu Mezid. And in Mezid, as we'll soon see in the Sugya, he's going to derive from a Pasuk that there's an absolute change and transformation in the Chefta Shel Basa as a result of the Melech HaShabbos in Mezid, deriving from the Paschas, we'll soon see Kikodesh Heim, and that's called a new Iser, a new category called Maisa Shabbos. The Shulchan Aruch, by the way, Paschans La Locha, based on the Rif and the Rambam, like Rabbi Yehuda, the middle ground Shita, which would allow for accepting an Iser of not to be Nenem in Melech Shabbos, even B'Shogeg during the day itself, and an additional Chefta di Sura in Mezid. But again, that Chefta di Sura of Mezid only applies to the Shogeg. So it's a kind of a knas to the Shogeg, to the Mevashel, I meant to say, who is Mevashel the Mezid. This new breakthrough sheet of Chefta di Sura Olamas for everyone which is a brand new, essentially brand new category of isur. That's only Rabbi Yochanan Sandler, and that's not accepted la'aloch. In any event, our sugya asks my time of the Rabbi Yochanan Sandler, and the truth is, it's a little bit irrelevant in inverted commas to our sugya. You know, if the Gemara in Masechet Shabbos on the Mishnah of Mevashel v'Shabbos would have asked the question my time of the Rabbi Yochanan Sandler and analyzed that machlokas, that would make sense. But why here? And the answer is that Rabbi Yochanan Sandler is generating, as we said, a brand new category of an Isur Maaseh Shabbos. And the question is how to learn that Isur. That's what the Gemara is analyzing here. Because ultimately what we want to do is make an equation, a jump, from Bishul B'Shabbos, which is the paradigm case of Maaseh Shabbos in the Mishnah in Shabbos Lamed Ches that we're learning now, and Shechita, in the case of Shechita B'Shabbos for Dalet V'Hei, and to apply the principle of Reb Shimon of Shechita Shein Aruya. Now it could be that although Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler sees the Shechita, the Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler sees this Maaseh Shabbos Halacha as a change, as we said before, in the Guf HaDavar, converting it, transforming it, as it were, to a Chefzah the Isur Olamis for everyone. But nevertheless, that doesn't have any application to Shechita, because if you're talking about transforming the Chefzah, right, that makes sense with regard to Bishul. It's not coincidental that the Mishnah in Shabbos, formulating the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler, is addressing the case of Bishul. The essence of Bishul as a Melechah Shabbos, and perhaps in general in the Kol Dinei Torah, is to convert, transform the Guf HaDavar, the Chefza itself. It's a whole new Chefza. It's Mevushal. And here Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler says that you can engender Samsul Chefza, the Isur Shechita, insofar as it overlaps with Melechah Shabbos, if he was Shochet, it was Toveach the Shabbos, but that doesn't change the essential nature of the object. The Shechita removes the Isur Nevela, it's almost like a Maisa Hamatir, but that's a halachic category. It doesn't really have any impact on the Gufa Shel Chefza. The Gemara now must establish that the reasoning for Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler has something to do not with Bishul specifically, but with some sort of Kodesh. And that Kodesh will apply whether or not the Melechah Shabbos was done begufo shel davar, like in the radical, in the profound change that Bishul has on the object, or even if it doesn't change the gufo shel davar, nevertheless it has a shame Kodesh. And that's what we're going to learn now. The Darish Rabbi Chia, Apischa Debei Nesia. This was the drasha of Rabbi Chia at the gateway of the Beis Hanasi, quoting the pasuk in Shmos Lamed Aleph, and that's the parsha of Meleches Shabbos, of Isur Shabbos. The Torah says, "Ushmartem es Hashabbos ki kodesh hi lachem." Now it's very interesting. The ki kodesh hi lachem in this pasuk would seem to be superfluous, or if not superfluous, you have to grant me that it's not relevant to the Shmirah Shabbos. What is the Torah trying to convey on a halachic level, ki kodesh hi lachem? I mean, it may be a philosophical idea of ki kodesh hi lachem, and we could talk about what Kedusha Shabbos is all about, but on a level of halacha, what is ki kodesh hi lachem meant to teach me? And this is the drasha of Rav Chia. Ma kodesh, asur b'achila. The word kodesh here is a halachic category, a legal, specific legal category called hegdesh. Hegdesh is asur b'achila. What does hegdesh asur b'achila have to do with Shabbos? Af maisa Shabbos asurim b'achila. Somehow, in some strange way, the halacha recognizes that the maisa Shabbos itself engenders a hegdesh, an Isur hegdesh, which is certainly an Isur achila. Once you buy something, you can't eat it. And Rabbi Chia goes on, he says, Ima kodesh osur b'hanah, af maaseh Shabbos osur b'hanah. And perhaps we should take this analogy even a step further. And just like hegdesh is osur b'hanah, so too maaseh Shabbos should engender an Isur hanah. Because if you look in the Mishnah, in Shabbos Lamed Ches that we're dealing with, Mevashel B'Shabbos, the whole discussion is about Yochal or Yeach Lamotzi Shabbos, Lo Yochal Olamis. There's no mention of an Isar HaNoah here. We don't take Maisa Shabbos that step further and engender an Isar HaNoah. It's limited to an Isar Achila. Why not equate it to Hegdesh and say, just like Hegdesh engenders an Isar HaNoah, so to Maisa Shabbos, Tamalom Lachem, that there's a Ribui, and that's Kikodeshi, and then there's a Miyat Lachem. Lachem, Shalachem, Yehei. This is classic if you learned the Sugim Psachim of Isar Achila and Isar HaNoah. At the beginning of the second parak, you're familiar with this drasha lachem, lachem yehei. Like for example, in Chadash, we say the Chadash is mutava hano because it says lachem. Whenever the Torah says lachem, it's matir hano. And now Rabbi Chiya goes a step further. Yochal afilu b'shogeg. And again, as we've seen, even Rabbi Yochanan Hasandlar, who sets up an Isur shogeg, that's only atu mezid, because in fact, Rabbi Yochanan Sanlis says, Liachirim Yochal Motzoi Shabbos. You're not allowed to be Nene from Alecha Shabbos during Shabbos, but after Shabbos, others at least who are not subject to the Knas are allowed to be Nene. So we see clearly that Rabbi Yochanan Sanlis is not willing to set up Maisa Shabbos as a new Cheft of Hegdesh, of Kodesh, in the case of Shogeg. Tamid Lomar, Mechalem Osumas Bemezit Amati Lechovelo B'Shogeg. In this very pasuk, it says "Ushmatas Shabbos Kikodeshi Lachem Chalel Mos Yumas," indicating that we're dealing with a case of mezid. A mezid engenders a chil Shabbos of Mos Yumas to exclusion of shogeg. So we've now whittled down the nature and the scope of the Isur Maisa Shabbos, excluding it in the cases of shogeg and in the cases of Isur HaNoah. So therefore, the Isur of Maisa Shabbos of Kodesh Hayim is limited, number one, to Mezid, Mechalei Mos Yumas, and two, it's limited to Isur Achila, because Lachem Shelachem Yehei. And now, the Gemara is going to go on a little bit of a tangent, if we call it, to bring down a machlokes within Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler, exactly whether Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler understood this drush of Kikodeshi Lochem as a full-fledged drusha to engender an Isa Doraisa. Pligiba, Rav Achav Ravina Chadomar Maisa Shabbos Doraisa Chadomar Maisa Shabbos Dorabonon. Mandiyom Doraisa Kedam Moron. We said Ushmaitim Sa Shabbos Kikodeshi. And Kikodeshi tells me that just like Hegdesh is Osabachila, so too Maisa Shabbos Osabachila, and that's the Oraisa. Umandi Omar, Dirabonon Omar Kra Kodesh, who Kodesh, V'ein Maisa of Kodesh. That, in fact, the entire package of Maisa Shabbos is only Dirabonon. It's a rabbinic invention, some sort of a knas, we'll call it. But on a deraisa level, that's not the way we're going to darsh the pasuk. When the Torah says kodesh hi lachem, it means that Shabbos is kodesh, not that meleches Shabbos engenders kedusha and an isra achila. But let's go back now to the braisa that says that if a person was gonev b'Shabbos and he was toveach b'Shabbos, then he's potter from dalet vehei. And the same did apply in Avodah Zorah and Shor Nisgal. And we established earlier that that is a reflection of the Shita of Shimon that Shchita Shen Aruya Einen Echshav Shchita is Bishle Melaman Diyom Midoraisa. If we assume that Rabbi Yochanan HaSandlar Darshin Kikodeshi as a Drasha Gemura Doraisa. And now through the Meleches Shabbos, whether it's Bishel in the Paradon case, whether it's Shchita in our case, he engenders a Chefta di Surah Midaraisa, is Amtu Lahachi. Based on that, we understand Patri Rabbanon, the Rabbanon who's Rav Shimon, are understandable that there's a Ptur of Dalet Vehei for the Shchita, because it's a Shchita She'eda Ru'uya. And now we turn to Daf Ayin Aleph Omid Beis, Elamad Yomar, Dirabonon, the entire institution of Maisa Shabbos and its Isra Achila is a rabbinic invention, is a Mai Pachi Rabbonon. The issue of Dalet Vehei is a Doraisa issue, and on a Doraisa level, even though he was Shochet B'Shabbos, the animal is Mutabachila. the shechita is a shechita ru'uya on a d'oraisa level, even though the shechita was performed on Shabbos. If that be the case, then on a d'oraisa level, the gazlan through this tvicha on Shabbos should generate a chiyuv tashlumin dalet vehe. Now, the question is, and this enters into a universal issue in all of Shas, whether or not an Iser Derabbanan could have an impact on a Chiyuv D'oraisa. For example, even if I grant you that Maisa Shabbos is only Asa Derabbanan, but you're not, bottom line is you can't eat the meat, the Shechita is an Einu Ruil Achil, befall. And you might argue that when the Rabbanan made this Gzera, this knas of Maisa Shabbos, they did it in a very limited sort of way. And up front, they made the following condition, that this Iser Melech HaShabbos, Maisa Shabbos, will only be L'chumra, but not L'hakem. And that's what the Gemara thinks, is how can we go ahead and now use this Derabbanan to alleviate the ganav of a Chiyuv D'oraisa, of Dal Vehe? That far the Rabbanan didn't go. And Rabbi Chanan wanted to go even a step further. He wanted to suggest that even though midrabbanan it's eino roi, on the other hand, on a d'oraisa level, it's considered roi. What does that mean? Roi or eino roi depends upon the bekach, so to speak, not on the befall. In other words, the rabbanan say, you know what? You're not allowed to eat the meat. That's an iser maisa shabbos midrabbanan. However, as far as the shechita is concerned, in defining the shechita, the question is not whether we're allowed to eat the meat or we're not allowed to eat the meat, but rather whether the shechita itself inherently has the power to be mati the basar. In other words, Rabbanan are coming with a new gzera, a new knas, a new iser achila, but it doesn't impact on the shechita per se. The Rabbanan is saying that before you're not allowed to eat this meat, but they're not saying that the shechita is not a shechita ru'uya. Again, befall, the shechita is not ru'uya because it cannot be matir befall to sit down and eat this meat. But mitzad din, the Torah itself recognizes the ability and the power of the shechita be matir b'achila. And I would take the logic of Rabbi Chanan one step further and perhaps say that when the Rabbanan made this gzera, and they said you're not allowed to eat a ma'isa Shabbos, a visual Shabbos, that was only an Iser Gavra, but not an Iser Cheftza. And even though an Iser Gav is usually, or often, a time limitation, here it's an Iser Olavis, but nevertheless, it's an Iser Gav. It's a Gzera, you can't eat the meat, but the meat itself, per se, is a Cheftza de Tera. And there's no Iser Gav at all. So the Gemara answers, and this is a pretty radical change in our whole understanding of this Braisa, Asha'ara, that when the Rabbanan said that in the Braisa that the Tvicha does not generate a Chiyuv Dal Vehe, they were only referring to Avodah Zarah v'Shar Niska. And in those two cases, you have a shechita she'eno ru'uya, because if he shechted it for Avodah Zarah, he shechted it for Niskal, the shechita is not matir the basar, and therefore you're part of Dal Vehe. However, in the case of shechita b'Shabbos, the Rabbanan and the Chachamim never argued. They agree that you chayv dal vehe. That's again according to the Man Yomer who says Ma'aseh Shabbos is the Rabbanan. If Ma'aseh Shabbos is the Rice according to Rabbi Yochanan Sandler, then clearly the halach of Tovech b'Shabbos is identical to the halach of Tovech l'Avodah Zarah Shor Niskal. It's shechita Cheneruya. But now that we're saying that Rabbi Yochanan Sandler is talking about an Iser Knas the Rabbanan, and therefore it would not make the shechita, quote unquote, a shechita Cheneruya, and it would engender a chiyuv dal vehe, we're going to have to reinterpret the Braisa. I'm going to have to say that when the Rabbanan said you're part of a dal vehe, they're referring to Avodah Zarah and Shor Niskal specifically, but not to Shochet b'Shabbos. The Gemara now tries to clarify Rabbi Meir, who said back on Omer Aleph that if a person steals and he shechts it for Avodah Zarah, he pays Dalet Vehe. In fact, the Gemara, Rabbi Meir, Amai Mechayev Shochel Avodah Zarah. Let's just understand that the very moment that a person begins his shechita, chas v'shalom, for the sake of Avodah Zarah, even the tchilas ha-shechita, that's called Kevan Sheshochet Bapurta, the ascholas ashchita, purta means a small amount, then asra. Now the behemoth is already asra ba'anah. We don't have to wait until the Gemar Shechita, but the Tchilas HaShechita is enough to engender an Isra Avodah Zara. And Rashi explains it, Dibra Askel Kevan, that in Shechita Avodah Zara, the Isra is Mishum Zivchei Mesim. That's a Gemara in Avodah Zara Chavtes, that a person who shechts an animal for Avodah Zara purposes, the animal becomes Takrovis Avodah Zara, and it's Asur Banot. And that's derived from the Pasuk, Vayamdu Lebal Pa'ar, Vayochlu Zivchei Mesim. Vayitzmedu, excuse me, Lebal Pa'ar, Vayochlu Zivchei Mesim. Vayochlu Zivchei Mesim means that there's a hekesh here between Avodah Zara and Mes. Just like a Mes is Asur Banot, so too Avodah Zara is Asur Banot. And even though there's a hekesh between Tekrovas Avodah Zara and Misa, that doesn't mean that the Isra HaNoah is B'doraisa like it is by Mes. That we don't know. The Pasuk says V'yochlu. In other words, the hekesh is only as far as Achil is concerned, but not as far as HaNoah. In any event, Rashi explains here, Dibra Askel Kevon, that our sugi reflects the sheet of Yeshna L'Shechita Mitchila Vad Sof. In other words, every single segment of the Shechita is considered a Maisa Shechita, and therefore B'tchilas HaShechita, as a Maisa Shechita, it engenders an Isra of Shechita L'Avodah Zara. And it becomes Asura as a result of this halach of Tekrovas Avodah Zarah. If, however, we would maintain the other shita of Eino L'Shechita El Basov, then the Isra and the Behemah would not be chal until the Gemara Shechita. Now, this is a little problematic because our Gemara reflects Rava. Rava is actually of the opinion in Masechta Pesachim that Eino L'Shechita El Basov, so that has to be ironed out. But be that as it may, for our purposes, the Gemara identifies Rav Meir's halacha as being chayev dalet vehei as a problematic one, insofar as the Isra Avodah Zarah is already chal at the beginning of the Shechita. But idach isuri anahu is lo demare katavach. Idach means the balance of the Shechita, which is going to engender a chiyuv Dalet Vehei, because the Gemara establishes later on in Daf Ayin Beis that the Pasuk V'tovcho in the parish of Dalet Vehei means that he's not chayv until he completes the Shechita. Again, that's a sugya that we'll have to learn later on in Daf Ayin Beis. And therefore, what happens is that the balance of the Shechita from the Tchil and on is not a Shechita of V'tovcho. What does it mean? The animal itself is already a chefta di surah b'shas tchilas hashchita, as we discussed before, and therefore it no longer belongs to the owner, the nigzal. The nigzal forfeits his bailus through the isra anah, and therefore b'shas shchita lav demari katavach. The shchita is not a shchita the bailin, because once something is also anah, it has no value. Isra anah lav mamon inhu. So lamaisa, it's as if this animal was thrown into a fire before its shechita. It's worthless. And therefore there can be no chiv dal vehe incurred by this shechita. It should be chayv kefel, or a keren and kefel, but not dal vehe. Tosus is not happy with this. Dibra maschel isure. Tosus thinks, who cares if the animal doesn't belong to the bailim at the time of the shechita? Whenever a person steals something and he shechts the animal, immediately with the Shechita, at the very beginning of the Shechita, which is what's called Mitzas Mishir Shechita, he was kona the animal, this ganav, with a shinui. And therefore, for the balance of the Shechita, the animal doesn't belong to the bailim. And therefore, why not apply the principle of Shelohu Toveach? Why is he Chayav Dal Vehei? And Tosus wants to be Mechadish Gevalde Gechidish here, that the Shechita is not considered a shinui maiseh, because in order to create a shinui maise, we need a shinui shem, and at the tchilas hashchita, it's still considered a behema. It's not considered basar. It's only with the gemar shchita is considered. It's considered basar. Omar Rava, Rav wants to explain Rav Meir's chiyuv of dal vehei in the case of gonev v'shochet avodah zara. Be omer when the shochet made a declaration. Be gemar zvicha hu ovda. I'm not worshiping this avodah zara until I finish the shchita. And that's a fascinating halacha, that the amira of the shochei could determine the scope and the application of the Isur Hanova Avodah Zarah. Rashi, by the way, doesn't have the girsa of Biomer, but rather Rashi's girsa is, let's take a look at Rashi, Gmar Zvicha Hu Ovda, meaning that the Isur Avodah Zarah is only Chal B'Gmar Zvicha, nothing to do with his Amira, but that's the way it works. And this can be explained based on what we asked before. How could the Gemara assume that Yeshna L'Shechila B'Tchila V'Ad Sof Nef B'Kevich L'Shochad B'Apur Ta Asra, when Rava holds in Masechta Pesachim that Ein L'Shechita L'Basof? But maybe that's goofy what the Gemara is answering over here. Omar Rava, I hold that Ein L'Shechita L'Basof, and therefore the Isur of the Isra Novo, the Zotik Prosvot is only Chal at the Sof Shechita, and therefore during the entire course of the Shechita, it's not Osir Avodah Zarah, and there's no Isra Ano, and therefore belongs to the Bailam, and that's why it generates a Chiyuv of Dal Vehe. So, in summary, we could say as far as the Shechita Rav Meir with regard to Shochet L'Avodah Zarah is concerned, there's a Chiyuv Dal Vehe. Because Ein L'Shechita L'Basof, or alternatively in a case where the Shochet declared that I'm only worshipping this Avodah Zarah with Gmar Shechita. As far as Rab Meir Big Mechayev Dalet Vei on Toveach Shabbos, that's because it's a case of Toveach Al Yidei Acher, he sent to Shliach, and there's no Kimle with Rabbi Mine. Aye, it's a Shechita Shein Aruya. Rabbi Meir doesn't hold a Rav Shimon about Shechita Shein Aruya. Well, alternatively holds that Maisa Shabbos is only the Rabbana. And that's only an Isur Heftza. As far as Shochet B'Yom HaKippur is concerned, Rabbi Meir says Yechayv Dal Vehe because he only applies Kimilei Ramin in a Chiyuv Misa and not in a Chiyuv Kares. Now the Gemara goes on to explain and to analyze and explain Rabbi Meir as far as someone who steals a Shara Niskal and Shechtsin. Why does he pay Dal Vehe? After all, Shara Niskal is certainly Surya Nandinu. Nobody questions that premise. And therefore, Lav Demarika Tavach, we said that the Isur Hana steals or undermines the bailus of the Nigzal. So why is this a case where he's shechting something that belongs to the Nigzal? Just to reiterate Tosus's position with regard to every Ganav who's Toveach, he's not Kone B'Tchilas HaShechita, because otherwise we'd say he's not Chayv Dal Vehe in the classical case of Chayv Dal Vehe, because that's not considered Shini Maise, it's still considered Behema, not Basar, until the Sof Shechita, and that's why he's Chayv, because he's shechting the animal that belongs to the Nigzal. But here in the case of Shara Niskal, at the very moment of Gemar Din, the animal no longer belongs to the Nigzal. Omar Rava, Hachamayaskinon, Kigon, and this is a little bit complicated, Kigon, Shemisoro, Lishomer. In this case, the shark killed a person under the supervision of a shomer. And the shomer, of course, is Nichnas Tachas Abaylim, and becomes responsible for the animal, and certainly to make sure the animal doesn't go out and kill someone. The Hizik and this animal went out and killed someone, the Beis Shomer, as during the period of time that was under the supervision of the Shomer. The Huad, the Beis HaShomer, and the Edom testified on this Shor Shahargas HaOdom while the Shor was in the Beis HaShomer. And again, this is all based on the pasuk in Shmos Chaf Aleph, im shar nagahu mitmol shilsham vahuad bibolov. Vinigmar dino bibay shomer. So now, let's figure this out. There was a gmar din of skila in the Beis Shomer. And now we have to understand whether or not, according, now we're analyzing Rav Meir Shita, Shor belongs to the Bailim, such that the Ganav who shechts it will be Chayav Dalet Vehe. But again, we have to emphasize here another piece of the puzzle. All we've said so far is that this Shor HaNiskal killed a person under the supervision of the shomer. But where's the shechita? Where's the gzela? The answer is, and we didn't point this out, but you have to make sure you have this, you're on board with this, the ganav stole the animal from the base hashomer and shechts the animal. And the chiyuv dal vehei here is vis-a-vis the shomer. Rav Meir Sovalak Rav Yaakov was Svilek Rav Shimon. Sovalak Rav Yaakov di Omar af mishenigna dino ichziro hashom alabaylim muhsar. As far as the shomer is concerned, even though this shar, which is a perfectly good shar, when he got the pikadon, when he originally received it and took it into his house, nevertheless now it's in a different state. It's a state of a shar niskal, and you would think, logically, if he returns the shar to the base bailin, he should be chayev for that. That's not called a hashava. I mean, the shomer is personally responsible and liable for the fact that it became a shar niskal. It's also about, no, what's he giving back? He's giving back something that's worthless. The answer is that we have to introduce here the shita of Rabbi Yaakov that we learned back on Memhei, which is called Harei Shalcha Lifanecha. That means that if the physical object, as it was stolen, as it was given to the shomer, is still intact, physically, it's exactly what it looked like before. Like, remember the classical case we discussed where he stole chametz before Pesach, and now he wants to return it to the nigzal after Pesach. He has a right to say, Harei Shalcha Lifanecha. So that even though this shor is worthless now to the bailim, to the mafkid, because it's aser b'hanoah, there was a gmar din for skila, but nevertheless, as far as the shomer is concerned, the existence, the life of the shor is critical. It's worth 500. Why? Because he now can take this shor, package it up, and send it to the mafkid, the original owner, and say, Harei shalchol fanecha, I don't have to pay. So, from the perspective of the shomer, the value of the shor is 500. And not only that, when the ganav now steals it from the base bailim, from the base shomer, which makes it impossible for the shomer to fulfill his chiyuv hashava, is savar l'krab shimon d'yomer dover agorim l'momen k'momen dami. As far as the shomer is concerned, he really has bailus over this shor haniskal. What does it mean he has bailus over the shor haniskal? I mean, he doesn't own the shor haniskal, clearly. If anyone does, it's the mafkid, but I don't even know if the mafkid owns the shor haniskal after the Gemara Din. But the answer is, dovra gorim l'momon k'momon domi. Whenever I have a cheftz of momon, which represents momon for me, meaning it's going to, as long as it exists, save me some sort of an outlay and expenditure of mammon, that's called mammon. It's a kind of halachic ownership of sorts that Reb Shimon recognizes. And the case of Reb Shimon, which is going to be later on in this perek, is the case of kodshim shechay bachri yusod. Right? Because when a person takes on a neder to bring a karbon, he can do it in one of two ways. Either he could say, hare zu, that's called an adava, and he points at one Elsie the cow, or he could say, Arei Alai, which means I will bring a carbon. And he doesn't have to bring Elsie, he can bring any behemoth that he wants. The nafkamina is going to be, if this animal, Elsie the cow, was stolen or lost, if he said, Arei Zu, then he's not chayef, because Elsie the cow is gone. If on the other hand he said, Arei Alai, it means I will choose an animal, and the chov is gavra, not on this particular cheftza, and he's got to replace Elsie with a different cow. Now, in the case of Arei Alai, we have Rav Shimon's presentation called Dovar Agorim Lamom. Why? Because as far as the noder is concerned, who took this neder of Arei Alai, he's chayav b'achrayus, meaning if this animal that ultimately he separates for the fulfillment of his neder gets lost, he's got to replace that animal with another animal. So if somebody steals his animal, then the ganav is chayav to pay the nignav. And why is that? Because the nignav will now have to replace that animal. Again, the animal itself is kudgin. And therefore you would say, the ganav is not chayv to pay the noder, because he's not stealing his animal. This animal is kodesh. But the answer is no. The noder, insofar as it's chayv b'achrayus in the case of Harei Alai, is an owner on this behemas hegdesh. And therefore the Ganav is going to have to pay Dalet Vehei if he steals this Behemas Kodesh and he shechts it, because now the Noder is going to have to replace that animal with another animal. So again, even though the carbon technically doesn't belong to the Bailam in the classical definition of ownership, but nevertheless, right, because it's Hegdesh, but nevertheless, in Dine Momenus, says Reb Shimon, there's a breakthrough concept of Bailus, which means that if this object, if stolen or lost, will have to be replaced, then he's going to have to dig into his pocket and come up with another $500 to replace the first carbon, that's called a Gorim Lamamon, then it's considered his ownership. And therefore, the Ganav is going to have to pay. That's called Dover Agorim Lamoman Kimoman Domne. Now, let's go back to Reb Meir. Reb Meir holds like Reb Yaakov, namely that the Aloch is Hare Shalchol Fanecha. So when the Shomer replaces or returns the Shor Niskal to the Mafkid, he's Potter. If, on the other hand, the Ganav steps in and steals it from the Beis HaShomer, now we introduce the Shita of Shimon of Dover HaGomi L'Mama. And the Ganav is Chayev for Keren and Kefel and Dalet Vehei because of Dover HaGomi L'Mama and Kimom and Domi. That's why Reb Meir would say that a Shochet Shor Niskal, in the case where he shechts the Shor Niskal of the in the Beis HaShomer, he steals it and shechts it. I don't mean that he actually shechts it physically in the house of the Shomer, but he stole it from the house of the Shomer and he shechted it. He's Chayev Dalet Vehei, because this combo Shita, Reb Meir embracing both that of Reb Yaakov as far as Hareshal Chol Fanecha and that of Reb Shimon of Dover Gom Lomom and Kimom and Domi. So everything is wonderful. Omer Av Kahana Amrita L'Shmaita Kamid Rav Zvid Minar Do. When I told him this whole sugya, that if a person steals and shechts on Yom Kippur, he pays Dalet Vehei according to Reb Meir, because even though he's Chayv Malkus, Reb Meir holds Lokim Mishalim, he asked me the following question: Mimotz is Mukmis Masnis and Rabbi Meir. How could you say that the authorship of our Mishnah and the chiv of Dalet Vehei in the case of Yom HaKippurim, of God of it, of Yom HaKippurim, is Reb Meir, because loke u'mishalim v'loke Rabbi Shimon, because Reb Shimon holds eino loke mishalim v'aktani sefer Reb Shimon poter b'shnei elu michlal dekulam asnisim mode. Reb Shimon argues in two cases, namely in Shochet when it says trefa Shochet chulam v'azara. There he says Shlita Shena Ruya, and as a result, he's poter him from Dalet Vehei. The implication is that as far as the balance of the Mishnah is concerned, Rav Shimon agrees, and therefore the Mishnah reflects the Shita of Rav Shimon. So how do you explain now Gonei V'Tovei P'Yom HaKippur Nischai V'Tashlum, and Rav Shimon actually holds an Eino Lokim Mishalim Amri Leilo? You don't have to be medayik from the Sefer of the Mishnah that Reb Shimon agrees to everything else in the Mishnah, that Michlal, Demoda, Betovach, Umochal, Urfu, Leklovin. Mishnah wrote, Reb Shimon, Pote, B'Shnei Elu, it's coming not Lafuke, the rest of the Mishnah, but rather Lafuke, the case of Tovach, Umochal, Urfu, Leklovin. In those cases, Rabbi Shimon is Moda, that even though in order to be Chayiv Dalet Vehei, Reb Shimon requires a Shechita Re'uya, in the case of Shachat L'Refua, Shachat L'Klovim, Reb Shimon admits that that's called Shechita HaRe'uya, and therefore he's Chayiv Dalet Vehei. Even again, he wasn't interested in Shechting for the purpose of Achila, and Shechita Re'uya means for Achila, but nevertheless, the Shechita per se is Matir, the Behem of Achila. It's not like the cases of Shochet Trefa or a Shochet Chulin Bazara, where the Shechit inherently has no power and no potential to be Matir Bachil. Now the Mishnah says back on Daf Ayin, Gonav Mishal Oviv V'Tovach U'Mochar V'Achkat Meis Oviv. The brothers inherit their chalokim in Dalet Vehei. So the Gazlan, that particular brother who stole and then shechted it, has to pay Dalet Vehei to all the brothers. Is Boy Minei Rav Rav Nachman, that Mishnah of Mishal Ov is going to be relevant to the famous Sofek of Rava. Gonav shoshel shnei shutvim tvacho vahodu liyechad mehem. If a person steals an animal that's owned by two partners, and he then wants the tshuva, but he's only moda to one of them. So he's moda to one of them, that as far as that particular shutav chelik, he, the ganav, stole it and shechted it. Mahu, do we have the ability of splitting dalet vehei right down the middle? And saying, you know what, there's a chiv dalet vehei vis-a-vis one shutav, even though there's no chiv dalet vehei vis-a-vis the other shutav. Meaning, as far as one shutav is concerned, he was modeh and modeh v'knasis potter. As far as the other shutav is concerned, Adam testified before the ganav was able to be modeh, and therefore he's chayev dalet vehei, but he's only chayev dalet vehei vis-a-vis one of the two shutvim. And now the question becomes, what is, again, and we're holding now that modeh v'knasi achkach bo Adam is potter, right? Because otherwise, if there are Adam here, how could there be modeh v'knas vis-a-vis one of the shutvim? The answer is that vis-a-vis one of the shutvim, the gazlan was makdim as a parodius. Before the parodius of the edim, he was modeh. So he knocks off his chiv vis-a-vis one shutvim, but he still remains with a chiv tashlumei dalet vehei vis-a-vis the other shutvim. Does the other shutvim have the right to take dalet vehei, put it over to, in other words, get half of it? And the question is how to read the pasuk in Chumash. The Torah says chamisha bakar. And you could read that pasuk in two ways. Chamisha bakar marachmana velo chamisha chatzai bakar. Or the contrary, odilma chamishi bakar. Chamisha bakar marachmana filu chamisha chatzai bakar. In other words, you don't need full chamisha. You could even have half of chamisha. And that we don't know how to read the pasuk. And conceptually, what the Gemara is saying here is that is this a knas called dalet vehei that's made up of one entity, one payment, one indivisible five? Well, no, five could be the sacha kol of mathematic or arithmetic addition. So Rav Nachman responded to Rava, Elmer Lay, he says to Rava, Chamisha bakar rachmana velo chamisha chatzei bakar, that it's either five or bust, it's not five over two. But Esve, now Rav says, what are you going to do with that Mishnah? The Mishnah says, Gana Mishel Aviv, V'tovach U'machar, V'acharkach Meis Aviv, is Misham Teshlumi Abrav Chamisha. Now again, he's not paying the full Dalid Vehei, because he's not paying his portion. The Gazlan is one of the brothers that inherits the father. V'hocha, Kevin the Meis Aviv, Kimo, Shekodim V'hod Aliyechad V'hem Domi. Right, he doesn't have to pay his own chelik of dalet vehei because he's the gazlan, right? But k'toni mishalim tashlumi arba v'chamisha, he means he only pays the chelik of the achim. So let's say, for example, there's only under one brother, that basically he's going to pay five, right? Meaning hey over two. So you see that when the Torah says chamisha bakar, it means chamisha chatzoi bakar amalei. So Rav Nachman is really hard pressed. And he has to introduce an ukimta into a Mishnah Chamayaskinon Kigon She'omad Aviv Bidin. That in fact, before his father died already, there was a din, there was a judgment, and the ganav, meaning the son, was called into Bezdin and accused of the crime. He became chayav based on Edom in Tashlumi Dalet Vehei on the entire shar, and then subsequently his father died. Which means that even the chelek that he was yoresh from his father, he's not mishalim. He's basically chayav to pay the entire chamisha bakar. Correct? Now, in this case, basically what we have here is a technical problem. Meaning, as far as the chiyuv dalet vehei is concerned, that was established vis-a-vis his father as a complete hay. You know, we're not dividing it or fractionalizing it. And now, each one of the brothers yarshins from his father his relative chelek, his proportion in this Yerusha, in the estate, in this dalet vehei. But it's not considered chatzoi bakar. The chiyuv of chamisha was already chal, it was already set in stone and clinched b'chayoviv. Now Rava is not happy with this answer of Rav Nachman. It seems like a brilliant answer, But then it means that this Mishnah is talking about a case, a dafka of a case where there was hamara b'din b'chayah aviv, and there was already a full-fledged chiyuv dalad vei established during the life of the father. Now Rav has the old problem of liflog v'lisni b'dida. Let's read it. If you're telling me that if there was no amida l'din and the father died before there was amada b'din, then there would be no p'tur of dalad v'hei. Ihachi adetani seifa goda mishal aviv who meis v'akak tovu v'machar eino mishali tashlumi arbe v'chamisha. The Mishnah finds the exception to the chiyuv dalad v'hei in a case which is recorded here in the Seif on Daf Ayin Dalet Amud Beis, of a person who steals from his father, and his father dies, and the Tficha Mechira were implemented by the son, the Ganav, after his father's death. In such a case, the Gemara is going to derive that you don't pay Dalet Vehei. Liflog Bidida. Why do you have to stretch your arm out to the case where the Shechita took place after the Mises Ha'av, posthumous the father? But Medvar Amurim, you know when he's parted from Dalad Vehei? Kesha Amad Bidin. In this very case, where he shechted it during the lifetime of the father, but the Amada Bidin only took place after the death of the father. Lo Amad Bidin, Eino Mishalim Tashlumei Arba V'chamisha. Amalei Rav Nachman answers Rava, Hachinami. You're right, the Tana himself could have made that chiluk. But for technical reasons, the Tana did not do so. Aidi dinosiv reisha. Since in the first part of the mission it says, Gona mishal aviv, v'tovach u'machar, v'achar kech meis aviv. Notice the case was where the tvicha was done during the lifetime of the father. Is nosiv sefer nami, gona mishal aviv. The same structure he stole from his father during his lifetime of his father. But instead of shechting it during the lifetime of the father, meis avachak tovach u'machar. And that, in a sense, is a technical reason as to why the Mishnah didn't use this niflog b'dida. But again, keep in mind that Rav Nachman understands that chamisha bakar machmanav alo chamisha chatzei bakar, and therefore there's a p'tur in tashlumei dalet v'hei in a case where the gazlan was molded to one of two shutfim. Is letzafra, however, the very next day, after this discussion took place between Rav Nachman and Rava, omalei, Rav Nachman turns to Rav and he says, chamisha bakar omrachmana vafilu chamisha chatzoi bakar. He changes his mind, rescinds his original opinion, and he says in the case of Shor Shel Shnei Shutfim, if the Gazlan was mowed on his tficha to one of the two Shutfim, the Edom came and testified establishing a chiyuv of Dalet Vehei vis-a-vis the other Shutav, he'll pay to vis-a-vis the other Shutav. V'hai to lo amri le me'urta. Why didn't he tell Rava that me'urta? The Gemara could have said, well, he had a different opinion the night before. I mean, people could change their understanding, change their view. Why did, but the Gemara is not assuming so. The Gemara says, why did Rav Nachman say that he's potel gamre at night, right? Why did he say that at night, the night before? Chamisha bokar rachmon avalo, chamisha chatzai bokar. And the answer is, and here we turn to Daf, Ayin Beis, Omer Aleph. Delo achli bisra detura. I hadn't eaten a good piece of meat for dinner. And meat is necessary, that protein content, to give a person a certain strength. And that physical strength will give him intellectual strength. And if I wasn't sharp, Rava asked Rav Nachman, V'yela maishna reisha u'maishna seifa. Now that you've come to the conclusion that you pay even chatzoi chamisha, why is it that in the reisha, when the gazlan, the son, shechted the animal before the father's death, he pays l'fi chelkom, those fractions of dalet vehei, to the other brothers. Whereas in the sefer, when he shechted it after Mises Ov, he doesn't pay to anybody, to any of his brothers. He's completely part of dalet vehei. Amalei, so Rav Nachman responded to Rava, based on the pasuk. The pasuk says, utvacho. Tvacho means that the entire shechita was be'isur. Bereisha in the Reisha Karina Beutvacho Kula Bisura. The Tficha was Kula Bisur. His father's alive, the Nigzal is alive and well, and the Gazan shechted the animal. But Seifa, in the case where he shechted it after the Misa the Aviv, and now the son inherits his father together with his other brothers, and he inherits a portion in this very animal that he stole. Lo karina be utvacho kulabi sura. Again, even though vis-a-vis the other brothers who inherit this animal, it is a tvicha bisura, but it's not kula bisura. As far as his, the gazlan's chelek, that particular son's chelek, in what he inherited from his father, he's allowed to shecht it. And that's not kula bisura, and therefore there's a technical reason why that shechita does not engender a chiyuv dalet vehe. So we're now here on daf ayin beis, amud aleph. We got to the two dots. In Mirtz Hashem, tomorrow, we'll pick up the sugya of Ashochet v'nimtzeis treifa.